WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome one and all to WVUA 90.7, the Capstones NBA Student Section Show. I'm here, Zachary Elrod, your host. I'm here with Trey Simpson and Drew Williamson. And we're going to get into some quick topics, but first things first, we got Drew back, you know.
Glad to be back.
Yeah, last week we didn't have him, but sadly, Adrian is not here. He is getting some work done because he is trying to graduate, so...
Gotta respect that.
Yeah, gotta respect that.
Yeah, well, we definitely miss your presence, big bro. We'll see you next week.
Well, we'll miss you, man. We miss you. But anyways, getting into the topics, man. To start things off, today is the day that the NBA is launching the in-season tournament. So, first off, I just want to get y'all's thoughts about it. You know, kind of a controversial thing. And also, my thoughts, like, ranking all-time players, like... You know how we see, like, how many rings they got and stuff?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. One day, are we going to just be like, how many in-season tournament rings do they got? Like, that's just, like, I don't know. But going to Drew, what do you think, man?
At first, when I first found out that, you know, the NBA was doing this, I didn't really like it because I just thought it was unnecessary. Kind of just, why are we doing this? You know, we already have a 82-game regular season. But... it's not really, obviously all the in-season tournament games are a part of the regular season besides the two teams that make it to the championship. They'll play an additional game. I kind of like it now looking more into it because I feel like it just provides a little like twist to the NBA season and, you know, cuts out a lot of the load management and, you know,
that's
teams
true.
Resting players. I think teams have a little more to fight for in these group games and it just adds a little, you know, element of, you know.
A little flair.
Absolutely, yeah.
What about you, Trey?
Yeah, I actually liked it from the moment I've heard about it just because of the fact that, like Drew said, I thought it brought a different element, you know, more excitement to the league itself because the viewership has been up, but at the same time, it's never, you know, a bad thing to, like, do something to promote more viewers, you know, yeah. Get people talking about it. I think the in-season tournament is a good idea.
True, especially with the lack of viewership on, like, the NBA Finals last year. I mean, the Heat came back. It was a comeback story. I mean, underdogs, but it's just the Nuggets destroyed them. That's the bottom line.
And the Nuggets were just the better team.
Mm-hmm. They were definitely the best team that year. Like, it was
not even close.
They swept my Lakers. I'm still sad about that.
Yeah. But going into it, I mean, going into these group stages, Group A, we got the Hawks, Cavaliers, the Pistons, Pacers, and the Sixers. I mean... going down these groups, starting with Group A, who do y'all think's making it out of that group?
I'll go out of the group you just named, Group A for the East, I'll go with the 76ers.
76ers?
Yeah.
What about you, Trey? What do you think?
I'm going to go with the Cavaliers.
That was my second.
I mean, those are like, I think those are obvious picks. I heard Wimby say about the Pacers, you know. I could see it, though.
I like that Pacers team, don't get me wrong. I just think that...
Bruce Brown, very productive for them.
He was a great pickup. I knew he'd be a great pickup for them.
A big contract, but good pickup nonetheless. I think he's averaging like 15 for them.
Mm-hmm.
15, that's solid numbers. But I don't really want to go with the Sixers because, like, there's just a lot of things going on with that team.
No doubt.
I don't know. Maybe losing Harden actually might make them better, though.
They looked impressive last night.
So, I don't know. I kind of want to go with the Hawks, but... I'll probably go with the Cavs. I'll probably join you, Trey.
I'll say, like...
I like that Cavs
like
roster.
The Hawks and the Pacers are probably, like, the wild card to win it. Like, they'll probably be the team that shocks somebody, you know, if they make it out.
Now, this is no hate on the Pistons, though, because they got some good young talent.
I like their young core.
Some good young talent. It's just...
they're just not there yet.
Not this year. In our opinion.
They're getting there, though. Slowly but surely.
Sorry, Pistons fans. Maybe you have another opinion. Yeah. But going into the B group, we got the Hornets, the Heat, the Bucks, the Knicks, and then the Wizards. So
a lot of talent in this group.
Obvious pick is Milwaukee, just because, you know, the star power they have, and, you know, what kind of
starting off slow though.
They have started off slow. You know, they've been. I think they're 2-2. I think their record is right now, but they have started a little slow. But I'm still gonna go with Milwaukee on this one.
I got you. What about you, Trey?
Yeah, I would say either Milwaukee or the Heat. I'm gonna be honest. I'm gonna even throw the Knicks in there. Any of those three teams.
I could see it.
Yeah, I'm not gonna count them out.
Now, obviously,
too much drama for me.
Yeah.
And then the Wizards. Nah, we're not even gonna touch on the Wizards. They're in a whole different rebuilding process.
Yeah, I was about to say the Wizards, obviously being the last team in that group. In my opinion, I mean, that's
Jordan Poole and Kyle Kuzma are just. They're just funny to watch on the court. Like, it's just.
Did y'all see down 20 points throwing it off the backboard?
Yeah,
bro?
It's only them.
Crazy.
Only they would do that.
I mean, at least they made it. At least they made it.
I mean, yeah.
I like the enthusiasm. Can't never treat it like, oh, we're just down. Let's just, you know, play hard. But
gotta have fun with it. Yeah,
absolutely.
I'm not throwing it off the backboard if I'm down 20. No, I'm just getting a simple layup.
Just get the layup, man. I mean, don't make it too complicated. But out of this group stage, I got to go with the Heat, dude. I don't know. It's just like anytime I think they're not going to be good, they always find a way to be good.
Seems like they always persevere through anything. They haven't started the season good, but
I think they'll make a run.
They'll make a run, yeah.
The Heat strike me as like a second half of the season team.
They'd like
to turn it up when it's time.
Or maybe because of that reason, they might not be good in a season tournament. You know, they might be more of just a playoff team. I don't know. You could go either way, but I don't know. Or they could just be going with the next option to, like, the championship. They're like, oh, we can't win the championship. Might as well win the in-season tournament trophy.
In-season tournament.
I don't know. There's a lot of things you can go with that, especially the Knicks. When you touched on the Knicks, I agree with that. Definitely
I'll
a team to look
the
at.
Knicks, if Julius Randle and Jalen Brunson produces like they should – they can go as far as they want to, especially if R.J. Barrett comes through and hits
R.J. Barrett,
To me, it's all on Julius Randle.
Yeah.
Because there's been times where I've been so disappointed watching him because I know he can do so much better, but he just doesn't perform like he
especially
should.
In the playoffs.
Especially in the playoffs.
Because he'll have games where he just has like 25-plus in the season, and then he'll just go in the playoffs and have like
– just lay an egg.
Disappointing games.
Lay an egg or have like 10, 15, and it's just shot horrible. And it's just, I don't know. But they got some good pieces. They got Quickly. They got R.J. Barrett. He's been improving. I mean, they can make a run, definitely. And then the C stage, we got the Celtics, the Nets, the Bulls, Orlando, and the Raptors.
Real quick, let's talk about how Boston hung up 155 points the other day. That's crazy.
That's crazy.
Celtics have looked scary, man. I know it's early, but, like, they have looked...
They are looking scary.
Like a really complete team.
The Drew Holiday pickup and Porzingis.
And Porzingis, man. Porzingis dropped like 30-something against the Knicks the other night.
He's a great
He is special.
He is special.
He can just stay healthy, man.
I hate Boston, so for me to give them their props, you know what I'm saying? That's how you know they're doing good.
Me too.
That's true. Yeah. So I think from what I'm hearing, y'all are just saying Boston straight up. Out of this stage.
Yeah, who's going to beat them in that group? Like,
true. I think, I mean, the next best team to me is the Nets.
Yeah. But,
and then the Bulls are kind of sneaking in there, but you just got to go to the Celtics. I don't think there's any dispute.
I'll put the Bulls above the Nets, like, in terms of, like, on paper.
I will, too.
You could go either way.
The Bulls have, you know, they have a talented team. You know, DeRozan, Zach LaVine.
Zach LaVine had that 50 bomb.
He did. But Bulls just don't play defense.
Yeah, I really need Lonzo to get healthy, man. I've been praying for his recovery for like the last couple of years. Like,
I wish he would.
Like, he's one of my favorite players.
That is true. When he joined the Bulls and stuff, and the Pelicans, he was starting to get going, but then when he joined the Bulls, he's just so fun to watch.
And he thrived on the Bulls.
He really did.
He fit perfectly on that team.
And then Alex Caruso coming off the bench kind of does the same thing.
It's interesting
what's
going to happen when he comes back, though, because this is if he's going to miss all this season, that's him missing two full seasons.
That is true.
It's tough.
Moving on to West A. The Lakers, the Memphis Grizzlies, the Suns, Blazers, and then the Jazz. I think this could be an interesting one. Two teams, obviously, I'm eyeing are the Suns and the Lakers.
Yeah, of course. You can never count them out.
I think, especially
the way LeBron played the other night.
Mm-hmm.
That was like an MVP game for him.
That's true.
Like, you know,
the fact he's still playing at that level is insane.
It's just insane. Do y'all see the Austin Reeves lob? To LeBron James.
That looked like D Wade, and that gave me like chills.
Threw it off the left hand. Oh my gosh, he punched it. It was insane. And then the Grizzlies off to a slow start, 0-5.
Very slow start.
You can see that no Ja Morant is affecting them in a negative way.
I don't know if it would make the record like tremendously better, though.
It would just provide a spark that they need, provide some kind of.
He would definitely get some wins on the board, but like overall just dramatically changing them, I don't know if he would do that.
And I know, like, this kind of doesn't get talked about the Grizzlies enough, but Steven Adams, who was their starting center, out.
That's a great point.
That hurts them a
lot. That's a very
great
point.
He is a solid guy. Like, I know he didn't get, like, a lot of the, like, talk that, you know, some of the main centers in the league get, but Steven Adams is a very underrated center, in my opinion.
So, and with losing Tyus Jones in the offseason.
True.
Yeah,
you're missing that role player off the bench.
Yeah,
I mean,
piggyback on what you just said, Drew. I would agree with that Steven Adams statement. Like, he's one of those players that does the dirty work. You
exactly.
know, they're not going to get all the
shots. Not going to get noticed as much.
They're doing the work. Like, you know, boxing out, it's the little things that you know,
that's
pay
true.
Attention to. So he doesn't get as much shine, but he's definitely solid. You know,
and something's as simple as not having surgery and stuff, and they're just like, no, it'll be fine. Just wrap it up, you know. We'll do some treatment and stuff, but no surgery. Yeah. But if he would have got that surgery, now he wouldn't have to be out for the whole season.
Yeah.
I don't know, dude.
Mm-hmm.
But going back into it, who do y'all think's making it out of that group? We didn't even touch on that yet.
Now, I'm a little biased.
a little biased.
So I'm going to go ahead and say the Lakers.
Okay.
Especially the way they just played the other night against the Clippers last night. That was a game to watch.
It's not a wrong answer.
I'm going to be a little biased, too. I'm going to go with the Phoenix Suns.
It's not a wrong answer, either. Even though y'all are biased, it's still not a wrong answer.
I mean, yeah. True.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I might have to go with the Lakers. It's just the Suns have just been.
The Suns didn't look good last night at all. And I know they haven't had Booker and they got Booker back last night, but they haven't had their full strength team yet, but they still haven't. They hadn't started great.
And question about that, too. What is the point of getting all the help you can get when they're still going to low advantage?
Still.
You know what I mean?
You know, Beal was playing preseason, too.
I don't know what's up with him. Do y'all even know what he's injured?
Back spasms.
But sounds like a Ben Simmons injury.
Exactly. I'm not really sure what that's about.
Smell Ben Simmons in this conversation. Yeah. I don't know why. But so I guess I'd have to go with the Lakers in that group. So Suns, Lakers, going into the B stage for the West. We got my Mavericks, we got the Nuggets, big team, and then the Rockets, Clippers, and the Pelicans.
This is a good group.
Don't sleep on the Pelicans.
Very good group.
Like, even the Rockets being, like, probably the weakest link here, they're still a solid team.
Could arguably be the best group, most talent-wise. I don't know. C's kind of – we'll touch on the C later, though.
Yeah.
But B, for me, I don't want to be biased. I got to be professional here.
Nah, go ahead and be biased.
Go ahead and be biased? Yes, Mavericks. Okay, Mavericks. Yeah. But, I mean, going into professional host sack, I don't know if the Mavericks are off to a hot start, but I like the Clippers.
Yeah.
I really like the Clippers. Kawhi is actually, when he's not sitting on the bench, he is actually good. Paul George off to a crazy hot start. I think he could be, honestly, if he keeps this up, I think he could be an MVP candidate.
And Westbrook, he's fitting into that system nicely. Like, he's
he loves
way
it
better
there
than LeBron. Like, I don't know if the LeBron effect is, like, real, but at the same time, everybody who leaves LeBron's side ends up flourishing wherever they go.
That is pretty
and
true.
And I'll leave it at that.
And Westbrook loves it there, too. You can tell how much happier he is with the Clippers than he was the Lakers.
I love it for him.
I will say I'm very interested to see what the Clippers look like with James Harden.
Another thing we'll talk about that later. But I don't know. We'll talk about it later.
Right quick, let's touch on the Pelicans. Like, they're a pretty solid team, too.
Zion's finally playing.
On a rocky start. But I feel like as the season progresses, you know, they can only get better with time as long as they stay healthy. You know, that's their biggest concern, especially with Zion.
I agree.
I saw someone say on ESPN, they said if he plays 70 games, they could see him being an MVP candidate.
Absolutely.
And I don't argue with that either.
His numbers so far have been really good.
And obviously the field goal percentage is just through the roof. I mean, it's Zion. Dude's just an absolute monster.
I agree.
So who do y'all think's making it out?
I mean, I can never leave the champs out. I got to go with the Nuggets.
I'm
going to agree with that. I can't count out Joker.
I mean, with the Clippers, there's so many uncertainties. With the Clippers.
Yeah.
What were you saying,
Trey? I feel like if anybody's going to beat the Nuggets, it would have to be the Clippers or the Mavericks.
Yeah.
And, like, a fully healthy Mavericks team. Like, nobody on the bench. Like, everybody plays.
Kyrie playing, yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, for the Mavericks, Grant Williams coming up big. I mean, he's been doing good. And Lively. Lively has been Mavericks amazing for us because we've been missing the center. Because, like, no offense to White Powell, but, like, we just need
a big presence. As soon as y'all drafted him, Derek Lively, I knew, I was like, this guy's
going to
be, this is a guy that can run the pick and roll with Luka, you know, create space for Kyrie.
And defensively,
and Tim Hardaway,
too.
And I, yeah, no, defensively, too. He was a great, great draft choice for y'all.
I agree. But, yeah, I mean, even non-biased, you could still go the Mavericks. So I'm going to go with my Mavericks. Trey going Nuggets.
I'm going Nuggets as well.
Drew going Nuggets.
And I'm
going
to say my close second, like right under, like about 98% instead of 100, Clippers.
Yeah.
Close second.
Yeah. It's just uncertainties how they're going to fit with the Harden offense. Did y'all even see that picture with Terrence Mann?
Yeah, I saw
it. It was
that.
Like
that
as soon as Harden walked into the locker room and Terrence Mann's just looking.
He put his head down.
He's so just funny. Like, he knows that starting spot's gone now. Yeah. I feel sorry for Terrence. He's been working hard,
I'm surprised with the whole how the trade went down. I'm surprised Terrence Mann didn't get dealt to Philly. Honestly,
true.
I'm surprised they were able to keep him. So that
but
was
that's
huge.
Great for them. Yeah. They need to keep him because Nicholas Batum and stuff. Robert Covington's older. Nicholas Batum, I've heard he's going to retire soon. So,
yeah.
Getting rid of them and some draft picks and I think some other people.
Honestly, to touch on Harden's role in that team, I think Harden will be the most productive if he mixes playmaking with his aggressive scoring. Like, he has to be an aggressive scorer. Like, I don't mean he needs to, you know, shoot every shot, obviously, you know, because you have Kawhi and Paul George and even Westbrook to dump it off to.
Yeah.
But he definitely needs to do a little bit of both instead of focusing on one. You know
true.
What I mean?
And I think he's excited. I mean, obviously, he was talking about how they held him back in Philly. So he's trying to.
We'll talk about that in the Harden topic.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And then going into the West Sea, we got the Warriors, Timberwolves, OKC, Kings, and the Spurs.
This is probably the second most talented group.
I agree.
Here.
Or even arguably the first.
Yeah.
Depends, though. Oh, well.
There's too much talent in West B, like champs, and everybody else. Like everybody in that team is very solid.
I feel like there are a lot of sleepers in this thing because people still sleep on the Kings. Then you obviously got the up and coming Spurs, OKC, another up and coming
team. I love that OKC team.
Mm-hmm. And then Timberwolves beat the Nuggets.
They did. They gave the Nuggets their only loss of the season so far. So
watch out for Anthony Edwards. He's coming.
I agree.
After that Olympic,
I knew
Olympic
he was
going
to take a leap this season, but I didn't know how much. But he's looked really impressive.
So what are y'all thinking for this group?
I can never count the Warriors out. I know this is like out of these teams, that's kind of like a wild card answer. But
it's kind of like another Heat answer.
It's kind of like Steph is like Tom Brady to me. Like as soon as you count him out, that's when he's going to surprise you.
That's
and
true.
Just come out and dominate. You know what I mean? So I can't leave the Warriors out. But to make it out the group, honestly. I guess I'm gonna go with the Warriors. I'm gonna go with the Warriors. Actually,
okay.
To make it out.
What about you, Drew?
Just because of experience and that core that's been together for so long, I'm going with the Warriors also. But easily could be the Kings. Easily could be the Timberwolves. Spurs and Thunder are both two really young teams, but I mean, both of those teams are on the rise too. So, but
Spurs
I'm going Warriors.
Like and just flat out insane.
Yeah. Hey, after what Wemby did the other night to KD, his favorite player. I mean, we can never count them out now.
No
he's
doubt.
A dog.
Never.
It's
never.
His fifth game. He's 19 and he's dropping 38 on Kevin Durant.
Say no more.
That nothing else needs to be said about that.
But for me, I mean, you can't count on I really don't want to count out the Warriors. I want to hop on that trend. But the Kings are just like, I just love the Kings so much. I love watching them.
I love
they're
the Kings.
They're a fun team
energy.
To watch, for sure.
Yeah,
they're a really fun team to watch.
Energy.
But I might have to go to the Warriors, too. Because like, something in my heart just can't be like, I just can't do that to Curry, Clay, Draymond. Can't do that. Well, that'll close to this segment. We'll be right back with more content, and we'll see y'all soon.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back to NBA Student Section. We're back and we're going to jump right into it. starting off with James Harden traded to the Clippers. We mentioned it in the first segment we mentioned it. We tried to hold back, but like, it's just such a fun thing to talk about, man.
Yeah.
I mean, opening thing, like, there's a lot of controversies about it, but like, opening, how do y'all like it for the Clippers? What do y'all think? You think it's good or bad? Or
I'm going to say I feel like the Clippers didn't necessarily need Harden, but now they have him. So my question is for the Clippers, how are y'all going to use him? How are y'all going to, you know, fit him into this offense? Because we've already seen, you know, what Russell Westbrook is doing better in his new environment. You know, he's been thriving. He's happy. And PG and Kawhi are really coming into their own, you know, getting back to their old self. Drew, what do you have?
I mean, I love it for the Clippers. I think, like, kind of like you said, it all kind of depends on what version of James Harden will we see. Will we see the, you know, the kind of pass-first point guard James Harden? Will we see, like, the score-first mentality James Harden that we saw, like, on the Rockets? So I like it. I think it provides them some offense that, you know, Paul George and Kawhi Leonard are two of the best two-way players in the league, no question. But I think that Harden can take some of the load off of them when it comes to scoring the ball.
True.
And again, I just see what version of James Harden is going to be interesting.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But I don't know, going into it with the quote, you know, how he said, I was fit into a system with the Sixers, but I am the system.
That was really interesting. Got a lot of, you know, people talking about that too, because, I mean, I agree with some of the things, like some of the things about that, because I don't think he is a system player. But to say I am a system, that's a lot of talk, you know what I mean?
And then like, it's just like, yeah, you just came on this team, it's like, oh, it's my team now.
Yeah,
That's what I basically heard.
Yeah. Like, I don't necessarily agree with him, but I don't disagree. Like, you can't put James Harden in a box, but at the same time, he can't go talking like that because he doesn't have a ring to show for it. You know, he doesn't have any wins to hold weight in the conversation.
True.
So, honestly, you know, you can toot your own horn all you want, but until you win and, you know, prove that you can do it, and that's either by yourself or just win at this point in his career.
Yeah,
not even just win, like just stay with a team for, you know, more than a season or two. Like actually, mm-hmm. you know, fit in with a roster.
I thought he was gonna retire with the Rockets, like at one point. Like he was just like always playing, and then all of a sudden he's just like, oh, I wanna move. I wanna move again. And he just keeps on going.
Kept happening.
It's crazy. But with James Harden, it's just like, it's true, like what Trey just mentioned about, like, you know, he is an assistant player and how, like, you know, you need to, like, in order to get the best out of Harden, you need to put him, like, you know, in places that he can succeed, which is scary to think because, like, if you want to get, like, because it's proven that, you know, the Rockets made that run where Chris Paul got injured and stuff, almost beat the Warriors. But besides that, I mean, that's, like, the only time that he's really gotten really close to it.
Yeah, a lot of people think if CP never got hurt that they would have beat that Warriors team,
mm-hmm.
which is up for debate because it was the Warriors team. But
it is up for debate, but I don't know. It was close. Well, I guess we'll never know.
I would just say
for Harden, my message to you is you have to drop the ego. You know, going into this type of team with all these stars and talent, you can't go into this new place with an ego. You have to, you know, be humble, like still be you. But like I said, just don't play with ego, like play for the team.
Oh, yeah.
And Ty Lue's going to get him right, I think. I think he's got a fantastic head coach to put him in the right spots to succeed. So
Ty Lue is a great head coach. And Trey, you had that quote about Kawhi Leonard you mentioned.
Yeah. Like, so the other day, a reporter asked Kawhi like what he thought about, you know, Harden being traded to their team, and he was basically just kind of like, you know, I mean, I was in bed at the time, but I guess I was excited. You know, he didn't say it in like a monotone, like kind of, you know, way. But at the same time, you know, like, that's what we heard. That's the main takeaway. You were excited, I guess. You know?
It's just such a Kawhi answer.
It's almost tough to tell if Kawhi was, like, actually, like, not really sure how he felt about Harden, or if that's just, like, Kawhi being Kawhi and just not showing much emotion. But
I feel like it could be a little bit of both.
Yeah, I agree.
Because Kawhi being, like you just said, Kawhi being Kawhi, it's just, like...
He's nonchalant anyway.
He's just nonchalant. He doesn't think much of stuff he says and stuff. He's just, like, not like a blunt player, but, like, you know, he's just, like... That's why they call him a cyborg, because he's just like, it doesn't seem like he's real.
Yeah.
Like he has emotions or anything. But also, like, you know, thinking about the dynamic of the team, like, you know, like y'all are saying, he is an assistant player and he will change. He's going to change how the team is.
Absolutely. Like, absolutely.
I mean, there's no doubt about it. The team's going to change, which is scary.
And I think Harden's really excited about it because, you know, obviously he's said multiple times that the Sixers were holding him back, and, you know, he did not like Doc Rivers. They did not have a good relationship. So hopefully he can actually, you know, be on good terms with the rest of the guys and be on good terms with Ty Lue and maybe, you know, because the Clippers, you got to look at this Clippers roster now and, you know, think they're up there for the West, you know. So, and oh, I think they were already up there without Harden. Now you add a guy like James Harden, but again,
it's
all about what version of Harden we see.
So, mm-hmm. True.
I mean, the Clippers were my go-to team. Well, one of my go-to teams before the Harden trade. Now I'm definitely using them a little bit more.
Yeah. Definitely put them in more conversations. But anyways, moving on, we pretty much covered everything we wanted to about Harden. Moving on to Wemby. I mean, we kind of mentioned him a little bit in the first segment with the 38 bomb on the Suns. I mean, they faced him before that, too. I think he had 19 that game?
I believe he had 19. Yeah.
Was it 19? I don't know how many. Was it two blocks?
What, 6-7 rebounds, something like that?
Could
use a little bit more productivity out of him.
But in the fourth quarter, he took over.
Yeah.
He definitely took over.
That first game between the Spurs and the Suns, like, that was, like, the wildest finish to a game we've probably seen this season so far. Like, the whole, like, Kevin Durant getting the ball ripped from, I think he got fouled before.
Pretty controversial.
But that was just a crazy comeback. And then you think the next time they play, Devin Booker comes back. And, you know, you think, okay, the Suns are going to take care of business at home. Wemby drops 38 and looks unstoppable while doing it. Didn't even look like he tried that hard.
I mean, yeah, even with Devin Booker coming back, too.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, with Booker coming back. And obviously, hey, the Suns weren't fully healthy. Beal didn't play, but
true,
that don't stop Wemby.
Oh, yeah. And they were up by 20 at half,
mm-hmm,
which was insane. What was the final, like, how much did they win by at the end, I think?
I think they won by, like, maybe, like, 9 or 10, but because the Suns came back late a little bit, had a little late push, but then
just wasn't enough.
It just wasn't enough.
Dang. But Booker, he ended up with, like, 31. I think he had, like, 10 assists?
31, 13, and 9 was Booker's stat line.
13 and 9, dang. That's a great stat line.
Booker's only played 2 games this season, but he's put up near triple doubles in both. So He's looking, you know, like I said, I remember talking in our first show about, you know, we were talking about the MVP race, and I was talking about Devin Booker. If only he wasn't on a team with, you know, KD and Beal.
True.
He's definitely on the rise and, you know, one of the best shooting guards in the league for sure.
So do y'all think are the Suns in trouble because of this, or do y'all think?
I think it's early, but definitely is a little concerning,
mm-hmm,
for sure. I think it's a little too early to, like, panic completely because we haven't seen the full team, but I don't know. It's a little concerning that they couldn't beat the Spurs with relatively just, you know, Wemby as the head of the snake.
Yeah. What about you, Trey?
Honestly, yeah, I agree with that, but at the same time, not like we can't discredit Wemby at all, because even though he is a rookie and young, nobody else is 7'4" doing everything
true
that he can do.
Very
like, he's
true
literally a generational talent. This is a, you know, once in a lifetime type of thing. Like, I know he got compared to Bobo the other day by Shaq.
Yeah.
That was crazy.
That was crazy.
You know, like,
I mean, Bobo's, I can see a resemblance.
You know, but, like, I guess work hard enough for, like, his spot. So, like, that's kind of why he's in the position he's in right now. But
True.
And Bobo was on the Suns too.
Yeah.
Like
that is crazy. Did he even play that game?
No, he hasn't. I don't think he's played all season. But I don't think Bobo's played all season.
I don't know. I don't like how team like with the Denver Nuggets, it must be something going on behind the scenes. Like maybe work ethic or like
yeah.
practices or something. Because like I remember like even in the bubble, like for the Nuggets, he would take over.
I do remember.
And I'm
that.
Like, why is this guy? I get you have Jokic. But why is this guy not playing?
Yeah, I agree.
I know he's skinny. I know he doesn't really have that much size, but, like, great shot blocker. Can just, like, he can run the floor at his size and even shoot threes. Like, he can do it all, man. It must be something going on behind the scenes. You said, work ethic. Yeah. Something with
but
that.
But Wimby, man, he's special. He 7'4", 7'5", something like that, and he uses his size like to his advantage, like every time when they come down the court,
it's unstoppable.
And he makes things look easy. I think after the game, KD got asked like about Wimby, like saying he was his favorite player and stuff like that, and comparing him. And KD was like, I don't think Wimby plays. I think he's gonna carve out a path to where he's his own player and you know be that generational talent.
That's
so
good, because the NBA with a lot of people getting older, like KD, like Curry, obviously LeBron, mm-hmm. yeah. the KD,
Chris
I
Paul.
Mean. Chris Paul.
One of the vets.
I mean, just a lot of the greats are starting to
sadly
go away.
Yeah.
I know. It's like a generation, which we do have, like, you know, people like Booker, Jason Tatum.
Luka.
We got Luka, Shea,
Jokic,
Murray.
League's in good hands, for sure.
League's
Tatum.
In good hands.
Tatum. I think we said Tatum.
Yeah, Tatum. And then, like, you know, even Chet. Like, you know, who knows, Chet and Wimby could be that next.
Of course.
That next rivalry that we're looking for, that next, like, if there's an older person watching this, it could be the next Magic and Bird. I mean, hey, look, it could be.
We never know.
Oh, no, I think Magic and Bird's rivalry was so, like, great. They're in their own category. Like, it's Magic and Bird and then everything else. You know
I agree,
I mean?
Man.
I know. But I would want it to be like that. Like, imagine something like that in our generation.
Yeah. That'd be amazing.
Or, like, even, like, Curry and LeBron, like that rivalry with Golden State and the Cavs and stuff. Mm. I mean, something like that again in our generation. I mean, that's just something, as a sports fan in general, like just going abroad in all sports, that's something you look forward to.
Yep.
That's something you like, for sports fans, they live for.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, but going into the next topic, talking about Luka, we could talk about Luka.
Can, because he's looking pretty unstoppable. Obviously, the Mavs start 4-0.
Mm-hmm. Mavs start 4-0. And with the Celtics, I mean, Jason Tatum's looking good, too. They're also starting 4-0. I mean,
Jalen Brown have a left hand yet?
Like, good question.
It doesn't look like he needs it. I mean, that's just one thing to say. I mean, the Celtics are – the Jrue Holiday pickup is looking amazing. Porzingis looking amazing.
The Celtics starting five is – because Jrue Holiday, obviously, we know what he can do. We know what Jason Tatum can do, Jaylen Brown. And then Derek White is one of those guys. I think it was D'Angelo Russell that said in an interview, like, Derek White is who I try to be like, because he does so many things that go unnoticed. And then you got Porzingis, too.
ESPN, how is he not a top 100 player?
Yeah,
just tell me that. How is he not a top 100? Somebody tell me how he's not a top 100 player. You just can't. You literally just can't. That's just a horrible take by them. In my opinion, and I think in everyone's opinion, if you're watching basketball.
I agree.
Yeah.
What about you, Trey? What do you think about the Celtics starting five?
They're definitely the team to watch in the East. You know, I know everybody talks about the Bucks, Heat, but the Celtics, like I said, as much as I, you know, might not necessarily like them as an organization or whatever, because I'm a Laker fan.
Yeah.
I can never count them out. You know, Boston's always been solid, though. You know, as long as everybody stays healthy and Porzingis still produces like he produces, like it takes the load off of Jalen Brown and Tatum for that
True.
Matter on offense.
That's the biggest thing, man, if Porzingis can just stay healthy.
Yeah, because he's looking amazing for him. I'd hate it if he just got hurt like he normally does, but I'd hate that. And touching on the Mavericks, I mean, good pickups with Grant Williams. He had 7 threes the other night.
Oh, yeah.
As a Mavericks fan, I love that. And then Derek Jones Jr., one night he had 20. Obviously, Lively, the guy we needed. We just needed a defensive presence. We need a big, somebody that's just that guy.
I think the problems with the Mavericks over the past couple of years have been defense. Mm-hmm. And I think that, because obviously you got scoring with Luka. Luka, I think, is averaging the most points in the league right now, I'm pretty sure.
I'm pretty sure.
Like 33 point something.
He has like 110 in total right now.
And Kyrie, they have no problem scoring the ball. It was on the defensive end, I think they had problems. And adding a guy like Grant Williams is crucial to helping out your defense. And I think that's ultimately been the difference. And like you said, Derek Lively, he's been looking really good. Mm-hmm. So.
Tim Hardaway Jr.'s production for the Mavericks is very good, too.
Agreed.
Like, he's averaging like 20.
Their best two-way player, I feel like.
Just a solid guy. Over the year, he's probably going to average like 15.
Oh, yeah.
It's just that punch you need for like on the bench, like comparing him to like, you know, a guy like Norman Powell for the Clippers. It's just that guy that you need on the bench. It's just like that some people, like, they don't watch basketball, are like, why is that guy starting?
Yeah,
he's dropping 20 points, and it's like, but you need that.
When he doesn't play, it's, you know, your team suffers.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's,
agreed.
You know.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, that'll be all for this segment. Please join us for the last and final segment of our show, and we'll see you then.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back to NBA Student Section. We're back with some more content for y'all. But let's get started right back into it. Starting off with MVP candidates. What do y'all think? Who are y'all really eyeing this season for MVP?
I'm gonna be honest. My MVP to start the season was Luka. I just had a feeling that he was going. He's been kind of talked about the last couple of seasons as being MVP, but I think this year he's really. I mean, obviously they start 4-0, but he's looked really solid in his opening games. So Luka, to me, and then. I touched on it earlier, but Devin Booker, if the Suns can – I feel like the Suns will figure it out, but Devin Booker's putting up MVP numbers as well.
Mm-hmm. True. What do you think, Trey?
You know, I could never count out the big men. Giannis comes to mind. Jokic, obviously, having his MVP last year.
Yeah.
And a three-peat. Not going to touch on that. Anyway, I'll even throw in, like – no, I'm not throwing Embiid in there. Never mind. I'm not throwing Embiid in there to win it again. I think that was a one-time thing.
I do, too.
The way it went down, I think that was just a – here you go.
Yeah,
I'm equal right now.
Yeah, so. They just didn't want to give him three. They wanted it to be like,
and Embiid had kind
spread
of been,
the love.
He really wanted that MVP. That MVP meant a lot to him. So
yeah, they're not really getting much of anything else because they're not getting rings. So he needed something.
That's for sure.
He needed something. But for me, I touched on it too. I think just talking about candidates, not talking about actually winning it. Paul George, I think he could be an MVP candidate. I was saying it at the beginning of the season, but obviously y'all weren't there. So I was just like, because he had this quote of saying, like, I'm going to go off this season. And then looking at him at preseason, the preseason game versus the Jazz and stuff, just the way he was moving just reminded me of his OKC days back when he was, like, I believe number three in MVP on the MVP ladder that year, year with the OKC Thunder. I think that was 2019.
I think that was the 2017-18 season, because that was the year it was Westbrook, Paul George, and Carmelo, right?
No. That was it was after it.
It was after that.
Mm-hmm. Because that was when he was like good, but like not really like. Because it was after like Carmelo left.
Okay.
That was back when he was like torching people, like when he had that M13 on James Harden and Patrick Beverley and stuff.
Yeah,
and he
yeah.
did that, dude. That's back when Paul George and also when Damian Lillard hit the shot in his face. But
that isn't there like a compilation of Paul George getting like game winners like knocked down on him?
I think
like,
there is.
I'm pretty sure that's bad.
I don't know how long the video is, but I think there's a few of them. But I mean, being a defender though, it's gonna happen. Like, just like shot blockers, just how they get dunked on and stuff. Like Jaren Jackson Jr. when he got dunked on by Zion. If you want to be that top defensive player, it's just going to happen. It's bound to happen. But anyways, going into that, Paul George, I think he's definitely somebody we're going to have on our radar. And then probably Zion. We touched on that too. Zion could be an MVP candidate.
I'm surprised Zion came to your mind before Tatum. Honestly.
I don't know. I just think Zion's just a dominant player. I just think, like, if he stays healthy.
They got to win something, though, for him to, like, get the MVP.
I agree.
Because, you know, if they don't win anything, it's kind of just like, you know.
They can make a run, though. CJ, he's been doing good. And then Herb Jones.
I love Herb Jones.
Really good for them. But, like, I go what you're saying with Boss, like, with Tatum. So, like, are those – is that, like, one guy? Or, like, you thinking anything else? Like, you said Giannis and Jokic. But that's pretty much it.
Yeah, that's honestly about it for me. I mean, I would never say Anthony Davis the way he's been playing.
Oh, yeah,
He needs to step it all the way
he
up.
He does.
And even be in conversations, you know, at this point.
It's his team.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We had to rely on Bron the other night, and that's bad. You know, like, we shouldn't have to rely on an almost 40-year-old man to get us there. You know what I mean? We should be, you know, we should be looking at D'Lo right now and Anthony Davis. Like,
he had a good game versus the Clippers.
He did. Can't forget about Reeves. Never forget about my boy Reeves.
Mm-hmm. He had a good game against the Clippers. D'Lo did. 27, I believe.
Oh, yeah. I was proud. Like, you know, he must have heard me talking stuff about him. And our group chat, you know, he stepped it up.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's what they need, especially they needed it in the playoffs. But, yeah. I mean, they need him to be comfortable in L.A. They really do in order for them to succeed later on. But going into other topics, we got the city jerseys that just came out. I mean, I think there's some good ones.
There's some good ones, but for the majority, I don't like them. I do. There are a couple that I really like. I really like the Timberwolves.
Timberwolves are so clean.
They're very clean. I like the Suns and I like the Jazz.
Oh, another one I wanted to say I didn't even get to mention is the Hornets.
Yep.
Hornets consistent. To me, like, if we're just talking about all-time jerseys, I mean, the Heat culture wasn't good, but, like, all-time, the Heat have always had, like, good jerseys.
True.
If, for those of y'all that don't know, we do have a group chat and we talk about this stuff. Yeah. But to me, it's, like, the Heat, and then, like, obviously the Lakers have good jerseys, but then, like, I don't know, the Hornets, just with their blue colors, are just, like,
I love that blue.
Buzz City, oh, my gosh, it's just so clean.
Yeah.
The other two teams that came to mind who are, you know, up Northern California, the Warriors and the Kings, both of them have really great jerseys.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I actually didn't even know that – I mean, obviously I knew the City Edition jerseys were going to come out, but I didn't know that the court – they would – the City Edition courts. And those
I don't know.
Those are looking, like, crazy, like the craziest colored courts, like, we've ever seen. Like, you know, I saw the Thunders today, like blue and there's red ones. It's crazy. Like, it's not a typical basketball court at all.
I just don't know if I like that, because, like, going into, like, just the feel of, like, the hardwood and looking at the, it's just, like, nostalgic, and it's just, like, to me it's better.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's a little hard on the eyes, too. You know, people with sensitive eyes are going to see all those bright colors and maybe get a headache from it. I know I was getting a little bit of a headache staring at it too long.
Yeah.
And then just watching them run them up and down, like, for, like, what, like a couple hours? That'd definitely give me a headache.
If they're going to make, the hardwood a color, I'd say black, or just keep it like it was.
Not like a bright blue or green or red or some. You know,
I know if you play, like 2K and stuff, like my team or something, like, they make, like, colors, like, courts.
That's what it reminded me of. That's exactly what it reminded me of.
They make, like, crazy bright colors, and you're just like, oh, my gosh, I can't even play this game because, like, I can't even, like, is the court's brighter than my players, and I literally can't even see my guy shoot the ball right now.
Yeah.
It's just crazy. But, like, the city jerseys, we touched on the Timberwolves and stuff. I really like those. And then we didn't say the Suns. What about the Suns? Y'all like those?
Yeah.
I did say the Suns.
Oh, you did say
the
Suns? My bad.
No, you're good. I do really like the Suns. The Suns' colors are just really clean to me.
Mm-hmm. Since we're on the topic, this doesn't – they're not the city jerseys, but are the Grizzlies going to bring back, you know, the turquoise blue Vancouver
I wish
jerseys?
They would.
I love those.
Ooh, God, those are so clean.
Those are really clean.
The Raptors throwback jerseys, too, with the dinosaur, you know, Vince Carter.
Yeah.
Let's start there.
They brought those back a couple years back, didn't they?
Yeah.
But those are always, like, when you look at, like, I think the NBA did, like, a segment of, like, NBA players, and they said their first jerseys. And they mentioned, like, Vince Carter, Toronto Raptors. A lot of them mentioned Allen Iverson jerseys, too.
Yeah.
But, yeah, definitely going back to that, like, definitely, like, the Toronto Raptors, that type of jersey was just, like, just a classic. But going into other topics before we end the show, the Washington Wizards are just, we touched on that too, they're not looking good, especially with Jordan Poole. I know I was expecting him to be an all-star, or at least like looking, right now it's not looking good.
I had him winning most improved player. I had Jordan Poole winning most improved player. I thought that he was going to take the role of being one of the main guys. You know, obviously in Golden State, he was the kind of Curry, living in Curry's shadow a little bit. Couldn't really be like fully who he wanted to be. And then now he gets a chance in Washington. But he's just, he doesn't take stuff seriously. You know, he kind of just messes around a lot, which, you know, is a good thing. You got to be like, you got to have a personality on the court. But Jordan Poole kind of takes that a little too, you know, not as serious as he should.
Too serious.
I agree with that. There's a difference between being confident and being arrogant. And I think Jordan Poole comes off as arrogant and cocky to me versus, you know, confident, because you should always believe in yourself as a player. But when your teammate is open, now whether you think he's going to make the shot or not, if it's the right play and you're going to shoot a contested shot, you should pass it every time. Mm-hmm. I don't care. So, and the fact that when they were in the huddle, I don't know if y'all saw this clip, but they showed their interaction and Jordan Poole kind of just looked at him like, what, you crazy? Like, I'm not passing you the ball. So
that's such a Jordan Poole thing.
That's kind of like hard energy to me. Like, you know, you kind of think you're bigger than the program. Nobody's bigger than the program. If I'm the coach, suicides after practice till you throw up. Done.
He probably saw like a baddie courtside or something like that, bro. Something like that. I don't know. But Jordan Poole, I mean, I thought he was going to win most improved too. I don't really – who would win most improved? I haven't really thought of that.
I really don't know. This man, Dylan Brooks, for him to even get in a conversation, he needs to stop doing this, like, you know, talking.
Yeah.
He needs to start playing and producing.
If he did that, he probably could win most improved.
Because he's got a great opportunity with this Rockets team to do that.
Mm-hmm. I can't really think of anybody else, like
– maybe Westbrook, but, like – he shouldn't be a player that gets like a most improved, you know what I'm saying?
Nah,
because
he shouldn't.
Had a couple bad seasons. Like, nah, we, no. So never mind, scratch that.
I feel like there's definitely like somebody, but like we just like can't think of
Anthony
him right
Edwards.
Now. Anthony Edwards, I mean, could sneak in.
He's already in a, you know.
He could do like Shea did,
but that's, yeah, you know, something like that.
Or like, wait. Did they give him most improved last year, Shea?
I think they gave it to Lauri Markkanen last year.
That's like, yeah, Lauri Markkanen. I'm thinking of Ja Morant.
Yeah.
They gave it to Ja Morant because it was controversial too, because it's like, you know, you think of most improved, it's like somebody that's going from like 0 points to like, oh my gosh, I'm in double figures.
Yeah,
or like,
something like that.
But going honestly, from like 20 points a game to superstar.
Maybe Austin Reeves. Maybe Austin Reeves, because he kind of was blowing up in the second half of last season. So if he continues
does it for
to like be
he's
consistent,
one of the,
consistent this season, he could probably get it.
Yeah, he's one of those players that again is in
a candidate.
He's in a great position to get most improved player.
Definitely. Do y'all still consider him the third option for the Lakers? Or is D'Lo?
Okay. Yeah. Let me do a little bit of homework on that. I'm gonna say AD should be first option. LeBron should be third option, but the way it is, it seems like LeBron's first option, then AD, and then D'Lo and Austin Reeves are kind of like interchangeable.
Yeah,
yeah, I
it
agree.
Just depends on who has the ball first.
And I agree with that.
That's terrible. It cannot be like that. LeBron is 40 years old doing all this. I don't know if he's – is he actually – well, how old is LeBron?
He's 39.
He's 39, that's what I thought.
So, I mean, he needs to give them old joints a break. You know,
he don't need
to be playing past 30 minutes. Honestly, he shouldn't even be playing past 25. If we were on our stuff like we should be, he should only play like 22 minutes max, 23.
Yep. I
know.
You know.
Yeah. I don't mind the interchangeable against like Austin Reeves and D'Lo. I like that because like they're both just pushing each other to fill the gaps, because that's what the Lakers really need.
They do.
They need somebody – they need those two. To like Austin Reeves definitely stepped up, but they need a guy like D'Lo to fill in those gaps. Obviously, like Rui, he had to do it sometime playoffs.
They need guys like Gabe Vincent to step up too.
Yeah. Oh yeah, he hasn't struggled. I'm actually not surprised about that, because like people were on the Gabe Vincent train for like the Heat and stuff like that, and I'm like, it's one season. He had a lot of opportunities there.
Yeah.
I can't just say like Gabe Vincent's that guy. He's that budget guy that you need on your team, because it's just like. It's only one season. And then, obviously, like, the LeBron effect.
We're missing a core piece for the Lakers, too. Like, my boy Vanderbilt's been hurt.
Yeah.
And he's a key piece for our defense. Like, he comes off the bench and gives us that spark.
Yeah.
You know, he's a high-energy player. So, I can't wait for Vanderbilt to come back.
course.
Oh, yeah. Well, that pretty much wraps it up for the show. Thank you all for tuning in to NBA Student Section. Hope you all come to the next show, and thank you all. Bye.